So most of us have met Tima and Tamara before because you've been a couple of times now over the last couple of years, and you came over from Ukraine in 2022, and you shared a little bit of that story last time or a couple of times before you were when you were here. And so I just thought I'd, a couple of questions just to bring us to share a little bit more about yourselves and your faith. Could you tell us, because we heard last time about how you came over here, and could you tell us a little bit about, how did you come to know Jesus for yourselves? Were you brought up in a church family, or, share a little bit.
So I was brought up in a Christian family. So my family, they were Christians. That was still different country. That was Soviet Union. And first 12 years of my life, it was Soviet Union times, and faith was persecuted. And to be a Christian, that means that you are mocked at school, and not from the classmates, but from the teachers. Especially I remember from teacher of biology and everything, he was just kidding about all this Christian stuff and just, where is the science to prove all of that? Or we'll read paragraph and now you'll tell us your version and other things. So that was not nice times, but still there were Christians during that time. And at some point I was a Christian as a child, but when I came to teenage years, I made a decision to dedicate my life to Christ.
Mine was quite opposite. So my family was a typical Soviet family. God does not exist at all. Nothing like that. No church. Or you can go to church once a year for Easter and
Christmas,
yes. But it doesn't mean that you have faith or you know why you go there. But my grandmother secretly taught me the Lord's Prayer. So I knew it. But I would never tell anyone that I know it. No. So when I was a teenager, my elder sister, who is 7 years elder than me, she went to university, and there she started attending Bible group, and her life has changed. And so once she came home and she said, I'm a Christian person now, and my parents told me, we've lost one daughter, we don't want to lose another one, But she came back once and said, oh, there will be a camp for youth in the capital of our country where I haven't been before. And I was 14 and a half. So I was tempted to go there just because it was the capital. And I went. And, I questioned myself. These people are different. They are definitely not the people I knew before. Why? What make them different? And that was the question I asked myself. And the only answer was, Lord, Jesus. And I came back home, and I knew that it would be painful for my parents to know. But I've told them, I want to be Christian. I've seen other people, and I don't want to live the life I lived before. And I didn't know anything about churches, kind of the churches. I've asked my mom, do you know any church in the neighborhood? And she had at her job, she has a person who went to church, and she just asked her an address, and I went, and I stayed in the church, and that's my story.
And you've grown in your faith, and then you end up in Scotland.
Yeah.
It must have been difficult. And you've shared that before. How is your faith in Jesus how has he helped you over the past few years with all the challenges that you have faced, your family's faced, and folks back home have faced?
It is, despite the fact of the faith in Christ, it is still difficult. Life is not easy. It is not easy walk. There are difficulties, there are challenges. But still, at the background of our life, it is understanding that God is still in control. Whatever happens, whatever I see, whatever I don't see, whatever I don't understand, but there is still God. And He is in charge of all this big 3D, 5D, or 10D puzzle, which lasts for ages. And my life is just a small bit puzzle in all of that great picture. And somehow it have to play the great role. I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know when, but still that understanding helps to go through challenges. Not a lot always, it is still difficult, but God is in control and understanding that. And sometimes we are just asking questions to one another. If it is so difficult for us, despite that we are Christians and we have hope and we have understanding where we're going, how it is difficult for non-Christian people to go through similar situations in which we are in at the moment?
Yeah, the main thing, it's not easy, but the main thing is for us to remember not to look down, but to look up, to look at the life we were designed for.
Very quickly, are there any projects that are happening in Ukraine? Because sometimes, you know, we pray for Ukraine and want to support folks in Ukraine. Are there any projects that we could that are happening in Ukraine that we could support, perhaps financially or in other ways, that you could share with us?
At this moment, the ministry in Ukraine changed a little bit from what it was before. But now there is an open Bible Christian camp, and they try to continue to do camps for kids, not as much as previously, but they're doing. Also, they're doing weekends for young people, for them to come and be able to be together. Also, they have plans to rebuild and develop one of their buildings to make as the family retreat center for military people who are resigned from military and they need a retreat and as a family to come. So it is Christian center. So they started that project and they need some help in order to finish it, for it to be able to work as a retreat center. There are a lot of steps of faith they're doing because it is hard, it is difficult, it is not clear picture, but they are doing that because they see the need and to respond for all those people who were giving their life, their health, and now need to be restored, renewed, and especially that they need to get to know about God and love of God.
And we can share more information about that with the congregation and hopefully over the next few weeks. Thank you very much. Big hand for our team up now.
Luke chapter 24, reading from verse 13. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. This is the word of God.
Thank you. In Ukraine, there is a tradition in churches that after Easter, for the next time until Jesus' ascension, there are sermons about what happened after Jesus' resurrection. I don't know how it works here, but I think it is still good for all of us to think over the story of resurrection of Jesus Christ, what it means to us, and what was going on after he resurrected from death. When we are reading this story about two disciples who are going to Emmaus, we don't know exactly who they are, but we know they were not one of 12 probably, but close disciples of Jesus Christ. They're going from Jerusalem, and these two disciples on the road of Emmaus, they are going and they probably are sad. They have some grief. They are disappointed, and they have misunderstanding. And that we can get from the end of the story. At the beginning, it is just two people who are on their way, on the road. And it is getting dark, and it is not good when it gets dark to be outside, as night is time for criminals to go around, and it's time to get some place to sleep, some kind of B&B or whatever it was at those times. And they're coming, and they're having this strange person who goes alongside them, and they started to talk to him. They explain what was going on. They are explaining to him their grief. They're explaining what they understood, and they are saying what they had hopes for. And he starts to explain to them. He started to talk to them, and they started to understand more and more. So we see that Jesus reveals himself through the scripture. So he explains himself and what it is for, and through the scriptures, it was the law of Moses, it was the Psalms, it was the prophets for that time. So he explains and what it was all about, why Jesus had to die, and what it is for. That death, it is not bad, it is victory. And we see that they are blind. They have spiritual blindness. All the things he is telling to them, they were reading. When he was still alive before his death, he was teaching about that. He was saying about that. But they were spiritually blind. They didn't understand that. But then we see that it comes the moment of revelation. After they've heard what Jesus said, after the scripture, and after Jesus breaks the bread, they started to understand what it is all about. And that suggests to us that spiritual understanding is not only intellectual, and it is something that God opens people to see. It is said that then he opened their minds so that they might understand the scriptures. And then the disciple described an inner awakening when Jesus was telling, they are saying, our hearts burned within us. So, and this burning heart can represent to us that it is conviction, this is spiritual illumination and renewed hope, and the power of God's word. All of that works together. And then Jesus appears himself to a larger group of disciples and shows that he is alive. And he proves, because he eats the food, it was suggested to him, and proves that he is not a ghost, he is a real person, he is alive. And then their fear, we see, it was transformed into witness. The disciples begin, when they were confused, they were gloomy, frightened, they were doubtful, and at the end they are convinced and they are joyful. And they are proclaiming, the Lord is really risen. And it is this story, it is a model of the faith most Christians have. It is first confusion, then encounter with Christ, then understanding scripture, then recognition, and then proclamation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I would like to talk for us to think about hopes. They were saying, we had hopes. We held our hopes. They had hopes. Do we have hopes? What do we hoping today? I remember that we had hopes when the war started against Ukraine in 2014, when Crimea was annexed, then eastern part of Ukraine started war, and then it was going, and then in a couple of years it was the line, it just stopped on the line, and we had hopes that it will not move further. But in February of 2022, full-scale Russian invasion started all over Ukraine. And then we had hopes that it will not last for long. We had hopes that it will be just for a couple more months, and then the whole world will be united and just see that it is evil thing and just support, and it will be stopped. When we came here to Scotland in April of 2022, we thought, okay, we are here probably till the end of the summer, and then it will be stopped, and we will be able to come back safely to peaceful country. But here we are 4 years later, and it is still not safe place to be. All of us, when having elections, we have hopes. Every people have hopes for some changes. Some have hopes that if previous politicians will be in charge, some of them, they are more or less good, that they will just keep on going good. Some people have hopes in new people. If new people will come to power, they will make some changes, and then they will make something good. Some people have some hopes about their friends, relatives. If there is something bad will happen, they will definitely help me. If something will go wrong, they will support me. And we want some improvements. We have hopes that something will be better. Some improvements will be better. But we see that things go wrong. All of us have different kind of hopes. In Christianity, we have some hopes. Oh, if I am with God, then everything will be fine. If I am following God, then God take care of me. Whatever will happen, and I will not suffer. That all our hopes. But do all of those hopes have true basis? They are not bad hopes. It is not bad to have hopes, but it is very important to understand that some of the our hopes, they have not strong, they have no strong foundation. When we see disciples, they had hopes, and they had hopes about politics. They had hopes about national restoration. They had hopes about how God would act. And then events unfolded in a way they did not expect. Their words are filled with big pity, sadness, and disappointment. We kept hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. He would be the one who redeemed Israel. So much sorrow and pity in this phrase we can feel. What our hope on God? What hopes do we have? It is not bad for us to have different hopes. But it is good for us when our hopes have real deep foundation. Throughout Scripture, God does not promise that his people will not avoid sorrow or disappointment, loss, or uncertainty. Many of the faithful people from the Bible, when we read Bible, they experienced exactly those difficult things. Abraham wandered without seeing the fullness of the promise. Moses led through hard times and difficulties. David endured a betrayal and conflict. The prophets, they suffered rejection. Jesus of Nazareth himself suffered and he was crucified. But what God repeatedly promises in his word is not an easy path, but his presence. Some of the strongest biblical promises are, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My peace I give to you. In this world, you will have trouble, but take courage. I overcome the world. And this narrative of resurrection, which is described in the Gospel of Luke, shows us the disciples thought that everything is shaken and collapsed, but Jesus was already walking beside them, even before they were able to recognize him. And that is Christian pattern. That is often how Christians understand the hope, not confidence that events will always go the way we want, but confidence that God remains faithful within history, suffering and confusion. That is very important. And even when we are in apparent defeat, when things are really difficult, God promised to be with us. And the promise points us that God has prepared his kingdom for us. That creation will be restored. The death was overcome, and God dwelling with his people. So Christian hope is not that everything will turn out exactly as we wish. It is much more. It goes much further. God will not abandon us, and his kingdom will prevail. That is very important for us to remember and understand that. And that kind of hope could survive through the times of disappointment, because it is not rooted in some circumstances of our life, but it has roots in God, who is with us, who is going alongside with us, despite that we may not recognize him, despite that our sorrow and sadness closing our eyes, that we are not able to see him going alongside us. So Christian hope is not ultimately confidence in circumstances, governments, or economies, or human plans. It is confidence that God remains present and faithful, even when events seem confusing or painful. Sometimes we don't see God. Sometimes we don't feel him. Sometimes we don't understand. But he promised to be with us. And he is keeping his promises because he is faithful. And when times are difficult, let us remember that he is with us. He is alongside us. And what he promised, he keeps to his promises. And he will be able to lead us to his kingdom, to his glory, and creation will be restored, and we will have eternal life together with him. Amen.